You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
And I can tell you it is a good morning. The sun is shining. I can see all the dust in the studio, which is always nice. Good morning, boys and girls. Welcome to today's breakfast show with me, Jerry D. We're here on 89.3, of course. Cool FM, smoothest place on your radio dial. It's probably after 10 o'clock. We've got a nice busy program for you this morning. Got great things lined up. It is November, it is the 23rd, and it is Thursday. And starting us off, we're going to look at a birthday for this day, going back to the year 1859. Billy the Kid, William H. Bonney, was a 19th century American frontier outlaw and a gunman who participated in the Lincoln County War. Now, according to legend, he killed 21 men, but he's generally accepted to have killed, well, between 4 and 9. It's a little bit of showing off, isn't it?
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun.
Morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos dias en la mañana.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Jerry D.
Thank you.
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
Never ceases to amaze me. You get a classic like that one, I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight, and then you find out, of course, it was their debut single. If you're going to start off, why not start off big? I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight, of course, that is Cutting Crew, and it was a song released in July of 1986, a single off of their debut studio album, Broadcast. It was written by their frontman, Nick Van Eed, and produced by Terry Brown, John Jensen, and the band. Get everybody in there. And mixed at Utopia Studios in London by Tin Palmer. Keep an eye on the time, 11 and a half minutes exactly after the hour, 7 o'clock on this morning's programme.
From me.
called Runaway from Will Young. I like his music. But I'll tell you what, Will Young, he has brought us to this time of the morning. Yes, time to get you in the shower and on your way to wherever it is you're going on this Thursday morning. This week's gone through reasonably quickly, isn't it? Well, I think so. What have we got for you in the shower this morning? How about this one? It's Bronski Beat. What is it called? Just simply, Why? Because that's what it is. Why? Can't mistake the high-pitched voice of Jimmy Somerville either in the shower. Told you. What a voice. And then time to get you out of the shower on your way. Let's go. Come on. Chop, chop. Now. Thank you. There we go. That's always a good one. Bronski Beat together. Cunards. Communards as well there on that track called Why. We're 20 minutes exactly after the hour of 7 o'clock on this Thursday morning, sunny Thursday morning. And just to let you know, we've got Dr. Computer joining us in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. He's able to come, so that's always very nice. We're going to talk about Black Friday. Now, that's coming up, isn't it? That's a good time to keep away from shops. So we've got Dr. Computer with us. And in the last hour this morning, I tell you what, I've got a treat for you today. We've got Professor Fergus McWilliam from the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra coming in to talk to us. And I tell you what, I've been reading through his CV and all the great things that he does. But you know, sometimes when you look at things and you think, it's probably going to be the best thing for me to do is to introduce him and keep quiet, because this guy is so accomplished. It is unbelievable. Anyway, I'm going to be happy to welcome Mr. McWilliam to The Breakfast Show, and that's in the last hour of this morning's program. So do stick around for that. It's going to be very interesting. He's here. He was here for an event. The event has been cancelled due to some of the issues we're having. He's coming here. He's doing some teaching with the children, or the kids, or grown-ups for that matter. We're going to be chatting with him, and it's going to be very, very interesting. I hear you say, oh, that'll make a nice change. It is 21 and a half after the hour of 7 o'clock.
The city streets are empty now. The lights don't shine no more. And so the songs are way down low. Turn it, turn it. A sound that flows into my mind.
The echoes of the daylight.
Of everything that is alive.
Deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, 'cause you moved to West LA or New York. York or Santa Fe or wherever to get away from me.
That is, of course, Drive by Train. We are making our way down to 28 and a half minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock. So we're going to take a quick little break and we'll be back with some international news.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Cuidemos juntos el Metro de Panamá manteniendo sus instalaciones limpias. Evitemos comer en ellas y botemos la basura en los recipientes marcados. La metrocultura la hacemos juntos. Metro de Panamá, elevando tu tren de vida.
As we make our way to this year's holiday season, a great time, of course, to spend with family and friends. Well, let's not also forget the less fortunate. So why not have a great time and help others as well? The British Charitable Foundation is happy to announce the 20th annual British Haul. It's going to be on Saturday the 2nd of December at the Miramar Intercontinental Hotel. Come along and join us for that champagne reception, a sit-down dinner, open bar, DJ and dancing until you drop. And you can have all of that for a donation of $135 per person. Ladies, do come glamorous. And men, well, see if you can find that black tie. All you've got to do, if you're interested in tickets, you can go directly to the booking form at www.bit.ly/2023BritishBallTickets. Or for any queries or questions, you can also email the organisers at info@BritishBallPanama.com. Come along, join us, have a great time, and give help to others as well. Yes, indeed. That's going to be a great time. And it's just a week on Saturday. By the way, if you want tickets, you can, it's a lot easier. Just write tickets at bridgesportpanama.com and they'll get back to you. Have you ever thought about smart investing? You've got to check out Riccio & Associates. They've got over 30 years of experience guiding folks just like you. Start with $5,000. Get control, low costs and total liquidity. Reach out on WhatsApp at 1-954-881-3398 or swing by the website yoinviertobien.com. Your financial future, it's in great hands.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
Reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
I'm just a fool, I need no sympathy.
Because I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low.
Anyway, the wind
blows. Doesn't really matter to me,
to me. Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead.
Yeah.
There we go, what a classic. With Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody. Some quick good mornings. People have wished us a good morning this morning. Good morning to Mary Lou. Good morning to Rosita. Good morning to Paul over there in the UK. Remember yesterday, he had his second cataract operation today. And he sent me a picture of him all sort of bundled up. Just wanted to know how the other guy was. So anyway, hope everything goes went well. I hope you have a quick recovery from that, Paul. Paul Dixon over there in South London in the United Kingdom. Also a very good morning to Renee and Rick. I don't think they're up yet, but anyway, we'll wish them a good morning. And to Christopher Bowman, and he says to us this morning, he says, howdy Jerry D, Yasmin and listeners. You asked to hear something from the animals. It's this one. Boom, boom.
My feet. Talking that talk, you knocking me out right off of my feet. I need you right now. I mean right now. I don't mean tomorrow. I mean right now. Come on, come on, come on, shake it up, baby.
Yes, that's going out to Christopher this morning, Christopher Bowman, Boom Boom from the Animals. Time on the Breakfast Show, 11 and a half minutes away from 8 o'clock, if you're keeping an eye on the time. And let me say good morning to Rosita. She's got a message that we all want to put out as well. It says, good morning to the best in the West. Cheers to all of our USA friends on this day. Yes, indeed. Happy Thanksgiving to all. Peace and love. Yeah, we all wish for that, don't we? But absolutely a very, very happy Thanksgiving Day to you all. I envy you having your turkey lunch, etc. today. I must admit I'm feeling right hungry right now. Here's one I thought you might enjoy for this special day. Mary Chapin Carpenter. It is the Thanksgiving song.
Mm-hmm. far and near we travel home, blessed that we are able, grateful for this sheltered place with light in every window. Say welcome, welcome, share this feast, come in away from sorrow. Father, mother, daughter, son, neighbor, friend, and friends, all together, everyone, in the gift of loving kindness.
Thanksgiving song from Mary Chapin Carpenter. Lovely. Happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. And, well, let's be, just basically, let's be thankful. Let's hope things, as Rosita said, let's hope that things change for the better soon, because there's a lot of, yes, exactly. No swearing on this program. This is what we want. We want a night at the club, don't we? Let's go there with the Drifters.
Well, Friday night has finally come around, and me and my baby gonna hit the spot we found. We're gonna forget our cares and dance on into the night down at the club.
Certainly should look forward to that tomorrow, if you can even move tomorrow. That's at the club from the Drifters. A very good morning to Felipe. He dropped me a little picture here. He says, greetings into... He says, I think it's a chaos. Yes, greetings into the chaos. And there's a picture of Kai Cinquenta, and he just sent me another one. Let me get up and have a look at that one. Okay. I don't know what's going on, but there's two-way traffic by the look of it on Kai Cinquenta, so I guess somebody's blocked something somewhere. But the first one, there's a bus. It's looking down Kai Cinquenta, the Tornea, the rounding tower, then down there, and there's a bus coming the wrong way on Kai Cinquenta. So there's obviously something going on there, but thank you for your kind comments, Felipe. He says, thank you, Jerry and crew, for allowing a happy mornings for the good people of Panama. Best breakfast indeed. Thank you.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant. I'm not ashamed to say, I hope it always will stay this way. My hat is off, won't you stand up and take a bow? And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, well, you would see the biggest gift would be for me, and the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend. 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 If it's a car you lack, I'd surely buy you a Cadillac. Whatever you need.
Andrew Gold there, and thank you for being a friend. And by the way, if you're out there in the traffic and you see something like Felipe did that we should let everybody know about, do drop us a WhatsApp on 677-18822. 677-18822. to. All right, then we can pass it on and let everybody know what's happening out there.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Al que madruga, el metro lo ayuda. Ahora de lunes a viernes podrás viajar con nosotros desde las 4:30 a.m. hasta las 11 p.m. Metro de Panamá, elevando tu tren de vida.
As we make our way to this year's holiday season, a great time, of course, to spend with family and friends. Well, let's not also forget the less fortunate. So why not have a great time and help others as well? The British Charitable Foundation is happy to announce the 20th annual British Haul. It's going to be on Saturday, the 2nd of December, at the Miramar Intercontinental Hotel. Come along and join us for that champagne reception, a sit-down dinner, open bar, DJ and dancing until you drop. And you can have all of that for a donation of $135 per person. Ladies, do come glamorous. And men, well, see if you can find that black tie. All you've got to do, if you're interested in tickets, you can go directly to the booking form at www.bit.ly/2023 British Ball Tickets. Or for any queries or questions, you can also email the organisers at info@britishballpanama.com. Come along, join us, have a great time, and give help to others as well.
It's Morning Radio, the breakfast show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
Anthropocene, the current geological epoch.
Ecosystems, including anthropogenic climate change.
Billion. 10 years before now, global human population. Good morning, Panama. Good morning, Jerry. Hey, Yaz, how you doing? Happy Thanksgiving to all you Estados Unidos personas are global around the world, in Panama, in you United States, everywhere. Happy Turkey Lurkey Day. Woohoo! Yay, it's happily here. Well, it's one of my favorite holidays of the year because it's not about religion. It's not about anything else except family. It's about people getting together and having a meal together and enjoying each other's company. Well, for my dad, it's about watching football all day. But for me, it's really about you get to be with a lot of people that you love and sometimes don't love. But you do get to spend time together with people and hopefully the ones you care about. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm staying over at my grandfather's house. I'm not too happy about staying here. And I'll tell you, there's some creepy crawly things that happen around here. It's a vacation house that, my aunt and, owns, and my father said, yeah, you could stay there because there's just, like they said at Christmas, not enough room at the inn. So this old intrepid reporter needed to find some place to put her hat and hang her head. Yeah, while she went to the sleep. So this morning, it's Thanksgiving. So I'm on my way over to my parents' house. My sister and I are going to start whooping up some griddles and some vittles and have us a good old Thanksgiving lunch dunch. It's probably between 1 and 2. I am so pleased. My mother is doing much, much better. So my brother and I and my sister are pleased that she's in her recovery. My dad's doing pretty good, too, I got to say. It's amazing, you know. I mean, I got to find out what they're doing right so I either emulate it or don't. It depends on how long I want to live. It's pretty amazing. So right now I'm just packing up my things, going to run over there. I got to grab myself a cup of coffee, a cup of Joe, and get on over there. Happy Thanksgiving, Cook. You know I love you. Happy Thanksgiving, Aussie. Happy Thanksgiving to all my friends and to you too, the producer, and to the writer and all my wonderful friends there in not just in El Valle, but in Panama. Thank you all for being my loving friends. Until tomorrow, back to you in the studio.
Right. Okay. Bah humbug, as Alex was just saying. That makes me happy. Alex is with us this morning. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Jerry.
And how are we?
Oh, sorry. We're pretty good. Pretty thankful, you know, being Thanksgiving and all.
For what, Alex?
Oh, for so many things. First of all, for good friends like you and Yaz and the rest of the, you know, the gang here at the Breakfast Show. And for the opportunity that I have to kind of do things that I always wanted to do when I was a kid, but, you know, I had to wait till I'm an adult now to be able to do. Things like, for example, I wanted to show you what I got the other day.
Oh.
You may have seen some of this at some point in your life before. It's new, sealed, in box. A box of floppy disks, 5 1/4 inch, low density floppy disks.
Incredible.
Yep. I found them at La Casa del Teléfono. They also have like vacuum tubes and phonograph
really?
Needles.
Where is that?
And it's in it near the Cosita Buena. What's the
really?
Name of that area? It's, you know where Citel Now Found Ever is? I don't know the name of that. Fernandez de Córdoba.
Okay, okay. Right. I know what you mean. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They bought the local Radio Shack concession
oh,
or
really?
Whatever
yeah.
in 1988, I think, or something
yeah.
like that.
And they have this is
stock from back then that just didn't ever sell.
Oh,
I have somebody there looking at, you know, looking in the back and whatever and finding all sorts of goodies.
Absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
I also got some connectors for a computer that a friend of mine got me.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you know him, Tony Barclay. He does distribution for movies and things like that for Cinepolis.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Well, he found, you know, cleaning up and whatever, this computer.
Oh, wow.
1985. It's an Atari 130XE. 130XE.
Yeah. You know what's nice about this? You can actually turn it into a working console, you know, to a keyboard, can't you? Cool.
You can
Does
actually...
Does it actually work?
I don't know yet. He didn't find the power supply, and I wouldn't plug in a 40-year-old power supply without checking it
first. No.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to build my own. These things ran on 5 volts back then, and you know what else runs on 5 volts? USB. You can make a USB adapter for this, and
that's right.
You just need a 7-pin DIN connector that they don't make that much of anymore.
Tell him to look further in the back.
They did. They found the last 3. The package was crumbling in the fact, you know, some plastics crumble after,
sure,
you know, 50
sure.
years.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really easy to unpack, as opposed to those modern plastic ones that you need like a chainsaw to be able to open.
You know, it's funny you should mention that because I bought a couple of these intelligent light bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
It was from PriceSmart. We were in PriceSmart the other day, and they're extremely good. But they do not take old people into account when they package these things because, like you said, this is one of the ones that is soldered, you know, all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can get at it is with a pair of scissors.
And good scissors.
And exactly, because even then, it's hard. Why?
I don't know. I've also found that the ones they use for cutting wire fences, those work as well.
Oh, yes, they do. And I always keep one in my back pocket.
Yes. That's one of the few advantages of being such a large size individual.
But that's incredible. I mean, that's new stock that's just come in, those floppy disks.
Exactly.
I take it. Yes.
Exactly. It actually is called new old stock in the industry. And by industry or trade, I mean retro vintage computing. In that regard, we talked in the past about another computer that I have from the 90s called a Commodore Amiga 500, which I pretty much finished restoring. It works perfectly well now, except that the floppy disk drive isn't working too well, so I swapped it out for something called a floppy drive emulator. It takes a USB stick with the data from the original diskette, and then you can just plug it into the side where the floppy drive would be, and then boot from that. It even makes tiny noises like the original floppy drive for, you know, authenticity.
I love it.
And you remember maybe from living in Europe something called the SCART connector. It
oh, yes,
in the back
yes,
of
absolutely,
televisions.
Absolutely.
It
would
everything
wasn't
be able to plug into everything else.
Uh-huh.
I think it was a really clever idea. Well, I got a SCART to that computer connector, and then a SCART to HDMI connector, and then I can use like a modern TV or a modern monitor with it, which is the same what I'm going to do with this computer as well. It's got another connector that has the connector for like the video and the audio and everything else. It also has a connector for like the TV out. Remember, you hook these up to the TV. Well, unless you can get a really old TV, that's not going to work too well. So I'm going to make my own monitor cable. You can buy them off of eBay for like $20 or $30 or something. But it's fun to make them on your own. So a little bit of tin, a little bit of, you know, a soldering iron and whatever, and you're off to the races.
I think I've got an old TV down in the car park.
Yep. Well, you can also emulate these on your, like, modern computer. There's a whole bunch of emulators out there for things like the BBC Micro, which you may have used at some point, or the Amstrad.
Oh, yeah, Amstrad, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's, or even, for example, my first computer that I owned was a Sinclair ZX81, which you may also remember from Uncle Clive back then. It had a whopping 1 kilobyte of memory, 1K. I mean, people tweet longer than that. And you could expand it, and it cost like double the amount of the original computer's cost to 16K back at the time. This one was
incredible.
Like, a great computer for the time, and it had 128K of memory, which it could only see 64K of, you know, at a time because it was so much. But yeah, this is like the second or third kind of computer that I actually worked with back when I was a kid. And I did ask my friend at La Casa del Teléfono. He's going to look in the back. He may be able to find me a Tandy computer from back then, which was the first PC that I owned. So, yeah, I'm pretty thankful. You know, it's been a couple,
absolutely
days.
Brilliant. So, you know, happy doing what you wanted to do as a kid, and I'm doing the same thing. So, there we go.
Yeah, be on the radio.
That's right. That's what I did it. But I did it. Well, it's what I did when I was almost a kid, when I was 18, 19. But it's what I want to do now. I've been doing it for 16 years.
Yeah.
Time for a lie down.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, all this old stuff. I mean, the thing is, I live with great hope because old things are back in fashion. The Beatles are in their 80s. They've just brought out a brand new record. The Rolling Stones have just brought out a brand new album, and they're in their 80s. I just can't wait. You know?
And it might be next?
Who's
next?
Yes. The Who? Who? Anyway, look, lovely to have you back with us. We're coming to that time. It's this weekend, Black Friday?
It is, and I wanted to talk about that. A lot of people are, you know, waiting for, you know, Black Friday to make their purchases and so on. In fact, I think Black Friday is getting quote-unquote pushed earlier and earlier every year, just like, you know, you probably started seeing Christmas decorations before Halloween here in Panama. And if you go on Amazon right now, there's like some pre-Black Friday offers and whatever, and it's going to be probably even worse on Monday. They call it Cyber Monday because, you know, a lot of people do their shopping online on the Monday after. And I thought we might talk about things to take into account when you're doing your shopping, which, you know, fortunately are tips that work today and work pretty much every other, you know, Black Friday from here on. And the first one being is, you know, have a budget. Don't go over budget. Otherwise, it's like going to the supermarket when you're hungry. You wind up buying too much stuff or stuff that you're not going to use, you're not going to need, or maybe you go over budget and you buy more stuff than you actually need. And this happens a lot with technology. You start buying things like, oh, I want it with more storage or with a bigger screen or whatever, and then you wind up, you know, with regret and, you know, taking things back and returning things, which is great for people like me who like to buy refurbished stuff. But you have to be careful with the budget, and also to make sure that you put stuff in the budget that has to do with the purchase. For example, I see a lot of times people say, well, I'm in the market for a computer and I've got $600 and I want to buy a laptop. That's great. So I send them, for example, an example of a laptop that's, I don't know, $500, maybe $550, and they say, well, but there's this one that's for, you know, $599, I could get that. Yeah, but then you won't have enough left over for, like, a good bag to put it in so it doesn't get bumped or bashed or whatever. A good surge protector, not just that, what they call here regleta or whatever, which is just a bunch of plugs and a switch. No, I mean the ones that actually cut power. And when the power comes back, it waits 1 to 3 minutes before it gives the power back to the computer because it makes sure that it's all good during those minutes. So it's not something like a brownout or just a temporary spike or whatever. You can get those for like $10 or $12 at most hardware stores. I like the Forza ones because, you know,
it's a good make.
Yeah, but there are all sorts of makes and models. Just, you know, do your research when you're going to buy one of these. And I have them on everything, like the refrigerator, all the computers, the TV, everything that's plugged into a wall that I care about or is plugged to something that I care about goes on one of these protectors. Every time the power goes out in my building, when the power comes back, the whole building lights up except for my apartment. And then about 3 minutes later, everything starts turning on again because I have them on everything.
In fact, I went. I had to go to PriceMart the other day, as I sort of mentioned, because one of the things I needed, we did have a power cut. It wasn't actually a power cut. It was just a drop. What I noticed was that this computer, bang, it just shut down. And it was the UPS. So I went to PriceMart the other day. And they now do, was it member selection? They do their own. And very good they seem to be as well. Well, obviously they're not made by them, there's something else. But very, very good because, you know, it's not just about, because one side of the plugs, you know, is surge protection, the other is surge protection plus battery backup. So all these, in fact, that's even feeding another backup over here so that when things do go down, they at least allow me maximum, even if it's a maximum a minute, to give the building generator time to come back up and bring the power up. And it's really silly not to do it because they save you so much.
Not only that, if you don't have a backup generator in your building, like me, at least it gives you a couple of minutes to shut everything down properly.
Yep.
In fact, some of them will even have USB connectors that you can plug into your computer so it can tell your computer, hey, battery's running out, better shut down. And it's interesting because from like 10 years ago, or maybe a little more, Windows is smart enough to know, and it just behaves like if it were a laptop with a battery. And you can see the battery indicator on the computer as if it were a laptop, even if it's a desktop.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And when the battery goes beyond like 10%, only 10% left, it'll pop up a message just like a laptop and say, hey, I'm going to go to sleep and save everything because power's going out. So it's always good to have something like that. But to make sure that you hook it up to everything that's connected to everything that you care about. I've seen a lot of cases where people, for example, will buy a UPS, but the UPS is not rated for, say, a laser printer because those pull a lot of power. Inkjets, not so much, but let's say you have a laser printer. They'll say, oh, I can't put the laser printer on the UPS, and that's correct. But you can put it on one of those fridge protectors that you buy.
Plug in the wall.
Because those are designed, just like fridges, pull a lot of power when they start their compressor. Same thing with laser printers. And that'll work. Because otherwise, you connect the printer to the wall socket and then connect that using a USB cable to your computer. If a surge comes in through the wall socket, it will crawl through the USB cable and then fry your computer. Best case scenario, you lose a USB port. Worst case scenario, you lose the entire computer. And I've seen it a lot in businesses where the printer is connected to the network by a cable, and they don't protect the printer, so a power surge comes in through the wall socket, goes through the network, and then fries everybody else's computer because they didn't protect one device. It's like leaving your window open even if you have a bolted door.
Exactly.
So you have to be really careful about that. Also, we should be really careful about scams. There's a lot of scams going on. I've received at least a dozen messages saying, hey, we're from Amazon, and this is the bill that you're getting charged with or whatever. Call this number if you have a problem. And, of course, you know, you call the number, and it's not really Amazon. They'll say they're Amazon, but they'll want you to go into your online banking and perform some action or whatever to quote unquote get a refund, but that doesn't work. In fact, we've also discussed here on the show a couple of YouTube channels that are devoted to calling these scammers
and
making them waste their time and scream and get mad. And
especially when they find out that the guy that's gone back to knows where they live.
Yeah, and they show them their picture and their social media. And there's a British guy, really brilliant. He's even worked with people who go in undercover and work at these call centers. And then he's there to see, like, them getting raided by the police and things like
that. You can always tell also by the accent. Normally they're talking, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
But what I liked was there was he was on one day with one of them, and the scammer turned around and says, the guy walked up to talk to him, and the guy says, okay, so who's talking to me? He says, oh, that's so-and-so-and-so-and-so. Dead silence.
Yeah, I remember one. It's like, hello, my name is Mary. How can I help you? You're not Mary. You're something else. And she was like this, you know, gasping, like, how do they know my name? Who are they? And so on.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, I make a habit. I've been getting quite a few. Be careful who you make friends with as well, by the way, on Facebook.
Oh.
You know, I always look to see how much they posted, who they are, how many friends have they got, what, you know, and then nine times out of ten, especially the women, you know, and you can tell because the only pictures they've got is of themselves.
Yeah.
And,
scantily clad, if I might add. And why is it always the same six or seven friends we have in common? It's always the same.
I know, and I don't even have
politicians, DJs, startup promoters and crypto bros and things like that.
I don't even have seven friends. So, I mean, I don't know where they've... It's good for me because it's the most I've had for a long time. But no, but, and the other thing is on Messenger, I get so-and-so has sent you a link and it's just a link. I don't go near it.
No, not at all.
Don't go near it.
Don't.
And always double check on, like I say, you can do it with... Just put your mouse over a link. And it should show you the true address. If it's one that won't give you a link, then don't open it anyway.
Not only that, you can copy the link and then go to virustotal.com and then paste that link there, and it will scan it with like 30 or 40 different antivirus engines, and you can, you know, at least know what they were trying to send you.
In actual fact, funny, it was quite funny. I got had to have a blood test the other day, and I got the results back from the Royal Centre there, and what I liked was at the bottom it had the PDF file, and above it said virus-free, and I was impressed.
Yeah.
You know.
It's always good to know that you're finally
virus-free. Exactly, yes. I mean,
after so many years.
And I found as well that I don't even have to go for a test, and they still tell me I'm virus-free. But as I said, talking about shopping online, and oh, by the way, if you're going to be shopping in person, there's going to be a lot of people out this weekend. Another thing, put your phone in your front pocket, not your back pocket, and also make sure that your wallet or whatever is not anywhere where people can get at it. And
another recommendation about your wallet that I might add is, you've noticed that in the back of your credit card, you have a verification number that's used for online transactions. One of the first things that I tell people to do is to write down that number somewhere safe that's not on you, and then, you know, mark it off with like a marker or whatever, just blot it out so it doesn't show. Because since you're going to be like handing out your card from time to time, hopefully you don't, you just use one of those contactless chip machines. But if you have to hand out your card for any reason, at least they won't get that number and they won't be able to use it online.
That's true. But would, say, a retailer be suspicious if you cross that out?
They won't even look at it because they don't need it, because there's a physical card present.
Right.
That number is just for when a card is not physically present. So they're not going to need it.
I tell you what is interesting as well, because American Express asked me to, they gave me an offer, you know, do you want to change your card? For touch and go, American Express touch and go card, whatever. So, and they're offering quite a large amount of of points. So I thought, yeah, why not? Because it's a super car. I mean, I had it, I only got it, the first one went missing, so I got another one. I thought, this is heavy. It's metal.
It's got a chip, so, yeah.
No, but it's metal, the card itself.
Nice.
It's metal, and it feels luxurious.
A little bit. A little bit. Now, what I think is great is when you can pay with, like, your phone or your watch or whatever. Unfortunately, the only one supported right now is the one from your friends at Apple. But hopefully we'll have something like Samsung Pay or Google Pay.
I have
Google
Samsung Pay on my... On my watch, but does it work? I've never tried it.
I don't think it works in Panama yet.
Why are we so far behind?
When aren't we?
Well, this is true. I mean, just look at what you bought. Floppy disks. And just in.
Oh, they have a lot of stuff there, like CB radios and, you know. It's
So it is like a...
Time Machine?
No, what was the name of the story? Oh, a Radio Shack.
Yeah,
it is. It's just like a Radio Shack.
It is. Technically, it is. I mean, whatever's left of Radio Shack, you can buy it there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Has Radio Shack gone in the States?
I think they went Chapter 11 or something like that. So anything that you buy that says Radio Shack on it right now is just like if you buy something from Kodak. They're just selling the name, like Polaroid, things like that.
So something else, by the way, just because I just bought something else again from Amazon. It's always worth having a look. And they're refurbished.
Oh, definitely.
So, you know, I've bought a number of refurbished items from them. And, I mean, my Sony headphones I bought from them, really good price years ago. And they're still going strong. And they do give you a guarantee with it. But their refurbished stuff is extremely good. And it's you get a good price on it.
Yeah. My Rode microphones, for example, refurb... I bought like a whole bunch of stuff refurbished from Amazon and it works very well. The only reason I would not buy something refurbished from Amazon, for example, say an iPhone or an Apple Watch or something like that, would be if I wanted to buy the Apple Care warranty.
Oh, right, exactly.
For it, because it has to be new. But otherwise, yeah, anything from there and also from places like Walmart. The headphones that I'm using right now, they had a great offer for like almost half price. So, yeah, look around for the offers. And on Monday and Tuesday, you might find additional offers both from new stuff that didn't sell that they marked down even further and from refurbished stuff from people who bought it and returned it the next day. So it's not a bad idea to look for stuff on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right after the Black Friday event. Also, it's not a bad idea to check out Facebook Marketplace like a week from now.
Never tried that.
Yeah. You get you do have to be careful because this is person to person, not person to company. But I've bought a number of things from Facebook Marketplace that worked out very well. For example, one of my video cameras I bought on Marketplace for like a third of what it would have cost originally. Mostly it's people that buy stuff maybe on impulse or for specific purposes, and then they don't need it anymore, so they sell it cheap. So Facebook Marketplace is a place where is a great place to look for stuff. Just be very, very careful. Don't pay in advance. Be careful when people pay you if you're going to sell something, in the sense that they'll, you know, if they do something instant like Yappy or something like that, great. But if it's something like, oh, I sent you a bank transfer, wait for it to clear because I've seen a lot of cases where they'll show you like they deposited money on your account, but it's a bad check. So you have to be careful. But one thing that I do try when I'm traveling, especially, is I go on Facebook Marketplace and look for vintage computers like this Atari 130XE. Because in a lot of other places, bigger markets and whatever, there's still a lot of them going out, going around, people selling them from estate sales or whatever. But here in Panama, I haven't been able to find. So if anybody's listening to the program and they have a vintage computer, anything from like the 70s or 80s or something like that, you know, write us a note, let us know. I mean, I'll take it off your hands. I don't have much of a budget to buy stuff right now, but one day I'd like to set up something like a museum eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Not only a place where you could look at the computers or whatever devices from way back when, but you could also, you know, watch them work and see them mm-hmm. and how they used to function and so on. I've seen a bunch of places in the U.S. and in Europe that have the museum, but they sustain themselves by teaching classes on how to build computers or how to refurbish computers. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. get donations from people who don't need, an older computer or whatever.
Right.
They refurbish
mm-hmm.
them, and they give them to people who need computers but can't afford them. And if they can't, pay money for them, they can always volunteer answering phones or building more machines. And, you know, it's kind of something that I'd like to, you know, set up at some point. I've been talking to some colleges and associations and such. And that's what I eventually like to do.
And tell me, when you're buying your stuff from Amazon mm-hmm. or eBay or whatever, obviously, how do you do it with the card and because I mean I have my anything I do with them I just use my Amex because I've got the mailing address in Miami so whatever so there's never a problem. But how do you do yours?
Well, it depends. A lot of the times, if it's something for which I want to have some sort of warranty or whatever, I use a credit card because when you're spending the bank's money, they
mm-hmm.
care.
Mm-hmm.
You can use a debit card, if especially for things like subscriptions and things like that, because they can't take any money from the card if the card doesn't have any money in it.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that has something like a subscription or a trial that if you forget after 30 days, they're going to charge
mm-hmm.
you or something
mm-hmm.
like that, I would suggest using a debit card because that way they can't overcharge you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to have some sort of consumer protection or whatever, use either PayPal or a credit card.
What I find is very good is PayPal.
Yeah.
In fact, I've got two accounts.
Mm-hmm.
One with my Panama address and my Visa.
Same here.
And then the other account I have is with the American Express card. So it's so easy to pay with PayPal. That's
mm-hmm.
a very, very good service.
Same here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the great things about PayPal is if you have payment protection or whatever, they'll do the whole arbitrage thing and whatever, and they'll always have your back in that regard. Most of the time, I've heard some stories, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least it's worked always.
And who do you use to receive in Panama?
To receive what?
Your goods.
Oh, I use Airbox.
Airbox.
They're not the cheapest, I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
But they are the most reliable, transparent, serious company. I've tried others, but I've always, stayed with them.
Okay, because does all your stuff get opened?
Not all of it. Some of it.
You know, I've never had anything from mailbox, etc., which hasn't been opened. And I was talking to some people the other day, and they're all complaining about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you open it, it's secondhand, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, they open it, and they don't repack it properly.
Mm.
And people have even had things missing.
Yeah, that's one thing I've never had with Airbox. Nothing's ever missing.
Look, yeah. But the thing is, if you're in that business, for God's sake, use a scanner. The same as customs do. Do you think customs open everything? No, they don't.
Well, if it says, this is for Jerry on the box, they probably do.
Would, yes. But, every single thing, except probably for a letter that I get from MBE, Mailbox History, it's opened.
Mm-hmm.
And that really annoys me. It annoys a lot of other people as well.
One of the great things about buying a lot of stuff from Amazon is that Amazon usually packs things like their Russian dolls. It's like a box inside another box.
No problem with how they wrap it, but they wrap it. These people open it, rummage around inside, and then they don't repack it properly.
And most of the time, what's opened is the outer box. The inner box is
mm-hmm.
is untouched, fortunately. But I feel your pain. I know what you mean.
So, anyway, I did try somebody else just to see what happens with an exactly identical
mm-hmm.
package.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see. Alex, we're out of time.
It's
gone so
bad.
Quickly. But All being well, you better make it next week.
Yeah.
And, because we're getting up to Christmas soon, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. And Mother's Day, local Mother's Day.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Maybe
yes.
We can talk about interesting mothers. Gifts for mom, from moms.
There we go. Yes. There we go. All right, Dr. Computer, Alex Newman with us. Always great to have Alex with us on the program. And just to remind you, coming up in the last hour, all being well, subject to, I guess, traffic and everything, we have coming in to chat with us Professor Fergus McWilliam from the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra. That's going to be quite something. So that's still to come on the morning program. But as for right now, we'll take a break. If you miss the news at 8, hold tight. We've got it for you in just a couple of seconds.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. The best place to be in the mornings.
We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
The best radio station in the world.
In the world.
Is right here.
Right now.
You know, there's so many ways that you can be listening to Cool FM. You can be doing it on your radio on 89.3, of course. Carol Bell, Carly Onder on channel 866. Your Grada radio app on your smartphone. Or you could just be checking us out on your smart speaker. Doesn't matter how you do it. Just do it.
to let somebody go. It hurts like so.
Never think a nightmare will ever look better in a dress. You probably never get any sleep, and twice a week I'm depressed. One second I cry, then I'm laughing. I know it wouldn't make any sense. I could be the love, be the love, be the love, be the love of your life. I could be the love, be the love, be the love, be the love of your life. I could be the light, be the light, be the light when you turn off the lights. Oh God, I could be the love, be the love, be the love, be the love of your life.
There you go. Her name is Faye, and it's spelled, Ray, and it's spelled R-A-Y-E. She's very good. I was sort of listening to her on YouTube yesterday, and she's a bit of a rapper, too. First rapper I've heard, I understand. Anyway, there we go. That's Ray and Love of Your Life. Before that, Coldplay together with Selena Gomez and Let Somebody Go. You are listening to The Breakfast Show. We are on 89.3 Cool FM, smoothest place on your radio dial. 20 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, this is Blues Traveller.
As long as I see you,
There we go. That is the Blues Traveler. And the name of the song is Hook. Now, I got a request from Cedric as wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving for today. And I tell you what, I've done this fairly quickly because you asked if we could play a record for you called Climb Every Mountain. And you mentioned Shirley sings it. Well, I don't have it by Shirley, but I tell you what, I know this is somebody else you like. Susan Boyle. there we go. What a song. Susan Boyle and Climb Every Mountain. That's for you this morning, Cedric. He asked if we could play that one for him. This is Mr. Ray Parker Jr. I still can't get over you.
I'm all confused and I don't know what to do. I still can't get over loving you. I've had time, but I can't get you off my mind. No, I still can't get over loving you. Every time I'm running to your friends, I just have to ask them with who and where you've been. And when they tell me what I really didn't want to know, it only breaks my heart. It makes me want you more. When I hear your name, I get more insane. 'Cause I still can't get over loving you. I can't turn you loose, though I know it's self-abuse. I still can't get over loving you. I've tried to get involved with someone new, but it's just no use, 'cause I expect them to be like you. Baby, I don't know what I'm gonna do. 'Cause every girl I date resembles you. Oh, help me, baby, I'm going crazy. I still can't get over loving you. No, tear my heart apart, 'cause I still can't get over loving you. Girl, I'm so sad, and it hurts me so bad, knowing you're with someone else. So I have no right to be. I'm filled with jealousy, 'cause I want you for myself. I'm not blaming you. Oh, baby, it's not your fault if you don't feel the way I do. And even though I wish that you still loved me, it still won't change the way I feel for you. Girl, I can't forget this night over yet. I still can't get over loving you. To every breath you take, I'll be watching you, girl. I still can't get over loving you.
Show with Jerry D.
Ignored. Kick it to him, Joe. I don't wanna be the one to tell you how.
Joe Public there, and Live and Learn. Well, we know our guests are making their way here. Of course, a little bit of problems out there with the traffic. They should be here any minute. We're going to take another piece of music. By the way, that, of course, is Maestro, Fergus McWilliam. He's a cornist, and he's from the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra. I'll tell you what, we're going to play something from Rummer, and then as soon as they arrive, we'll take this down and chat with them straight away so we don't lose too much time.
I got a reason. She'd notice, but she's always crying. I got no one to confide in. Aretha, nobody but you. And Mama, she'd notice, but she's always fighting something in her mind. And it sounds like breaking glass. Have the right shoes.
place is cruel. Child, sing out, raise your voice. Stand up on your own. Go out there and strike out. I tell a reaper in the morning, high on my headphones and walking this room. I got the blues in springtime, 'cause I know that I'll never have the right shoes.
We go a little bit of their Ray Barotto and New York Soul. Well, we're going to go from soul. We're going to go from soul to the classics. I'm very happy to have with us in the studio our guest for this morning, Maestro Professor Fergus McWilliam. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you too.
It's great. It's terrible. I have to start by apologising for our country at the moment, causing all these delays and
yes,
so on and so forth.
But actually, around the whole world, there's a lot of things.
Yeah. Listen, Maestro, I have your CV here that was sent.
Could you just drop the word Maestro, please?
Okay. Fergus, how about that?
I like that much better.
Good, good. Fergus, it's great to have you with us. I was reading your CV, and it put the fear of God up me when I see the names you have on here. One in particular comes to my mind because Herbert von Karajan, the composer of Berlin Philharmonic.
The conductor.
Conductor. And you started in the Berlin Philharmonic with him, is that correct?
Yes, it wasn't the beginning of my career.
No.
Going around, as you can see, quite a while before. But he was the principal conductor, the artistic director at the time that I joined the orchestra in 1985,
mm-hmm.
which amounted to the last 5 years of his life and with the orchestra. So I managed to catch the tail end of his long, storied career with the orchestra.
He was one of these composers that, you know, you couldn't miss. I mean, Deutsche Grammophon.
Conductor, may I correct?
I'm so sorry. Yeah, conductor. Begins with a C. Yeah, he was one of the conductors that, you know, you would specifically buy a piece of music that he had conducted on Deutsche Grammophon. I remember it to this day, the yellow label.
Oh, I can remember my own collection of LPs at home, several meters long, and I'm sure the half of the entire collection was Berlin Philharmonic Karajan recordings. As a young man, as a teenager, you know, listening to all the recordings I could find, it turns out the vast majority of the records I listened to were on the yellow label, the Deutsche Grammophon label, and it was that brand, the company Karajan and the Berlin, Karajan and the Berlin, over and over. But it was a guarantee for a very high quality.
Absolutely. And, of course, you did start very young. It was when your family moved to Toronto, and you did a newspaper round to make some money to get your instrument.
Yes, I did enjoy the moral support of my parents. Mm-hmm. Both of them were artists and encouraged me to do music, but they didn't encourage me with any financial support.
Right,
at least not at the beginning. I think they wanted to see how badly I wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And after I had dragged newspapers on a toboggan, a sled, through the wintry Canadian snows, I think they thought I was obviously crazy enough, and I saved up enough to get the first 6 months rental of an instrument and my first, I believe, first 9 or 10 lessons, which I paid out of my own pocket. And then they came to skew after that.
And look at the success. You see, I remember doing a paper round as well when I was a young kid, and I can still remember that smell of the fresh newspapers in the in the park on the back of the bike, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
The only difference between you and I was saving the money so my mate could buy me a packet of cigarettes. And from there, I mean, how did you get this? Because the Berlin Philharmonic, one of the, if not one of the top Philharmonic orchestras in the world, how did you work your way up to such a to high? Because so many people play instruments, but not everybody can get that success. What's your key to the success?
I'm still trying to find the answer to that question. My children, my grown children, are. Mm-hmm. I've been proposing to me that I write my autobiography for their children, for my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So that they have an idea of what their crazy grandfather is all about. I find it actually very difficult to answer that question. I admit, when you look at the CV, it looks like a perfect,
It's quite
perfect trajectory.
It's quite daunting.
You know, sort of like the perfect career in a way. And I keep thinking, how on earth did that happen? So much of it was coincidence, lucky breaks, doors opening at the right time, other doors closing at the right time.
Right.
As if there was an angel looking out for me.
I know the feeling.
However, all right then. However, I do remember a feeling that I thought was kind of sheer excitement. I was just constantly excited about the next step. Whereas those around me, close to me, and those who watch me describe it to this day as a kind of blind ambition, which I was completely unaware of.
Mm-hmm.
It felt just like excitement and curiosity, interest, and wanting to push the envelope a little each time. Okay, and I didn't ever really have a big dream. I never dreamt of joining the Berlin Philharmonic, curiously, although I had all the records. I thought that was just it was so impossible, it wasn't even on my radar.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And yet, I kept moving incrementally, from one orchestra to the next, changing countries, each time managing to improve the situation I was working in, into a more challenging environment, and that's where I learned more, because it was
exactly,
more challenging.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it all sort of accumulated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know when I was working in the city and got the, like yourself, lucky breaks, et cetera, and always moved, like you mentioned, always moved, not for the money, but for the experience.
It's a very good
something
way of putting
new,
it.
Something challenging.
Very good way of putting it.
Hmm.
But there is I think probably in every culture, every language, some version of the phrase that you're the master of your own fate.
Absolutely.
If you make the effort, if you invest in what you're doing, then you get luckier. At least that's what my father told me.
I think that's right.
He said he considered himself... I asked him if he felt unlucky, so few breaks. And he said, no, I had the same opportunities as everyone else. I just wasn't always ready to take advantage of them.
What about failures? Did you have failures?
Not that
you can think of. Well,
no, I can remember some crises, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned so much from every crisis that it became a positive outcome.
Exactly.
I had to dig deep. I had to fight back, and I had to sort of bootstrap myself sometimes. But ultimately, I came out with a positive result, which is why I would say, without sounding too arrogant about it. No, I can't remember actual failures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, you know, when we talk of failures, it's not failures normally that sort of or also happen at our it happens because of something else. But no, I mean, it's you know, you've certainly sort of done a lot, but you're also now teaching.
Yes.
And how do you enjoy that?
Well, teaching started curiously with almost my first regular orchestra job,
mm-hmm.
which came as a packet. I was given the position in the orchestra and at the same time a teaching position at the local university. And I was struck. I was awed and terrified by the authority suddenly placed in me, the assumption that I was a master, maestro. Because I was the local horn player, and I was they gave me this title, professor, and I had no idea what I was doing. I did not know how to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I saw that this assumption that because you have a position based on experience, that you have a kind of a practical experience, a degree of achievement, you must know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's just a cognitive disconnect.
Right.
I had to learn how to teach. And that's been a parallel to my career the whole way. I've taught in lockstep throughout my entire career because it's such an important learning experience and resource for me. I've learned more from my students than I have from my teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became a passion and has remained so to this day.
And of course, that's one of the reasons that you're here with us in Panama right now is to give some lessons.
Yes, and I'm thrilled to be here, and it's wonderful. I mean, my invitation here, Professor Joel Arias, mm-hmm. we've known each other 20 years, way back to Venezuela, and I felt very, very excited to be able to come here finally and students.
And when you start, this was interesting because I thought, is this a typo? Cornista. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been able to find a proper, what I would consider a proper definition of a cornista. It's obviously, I guess, brass trumpets,
A cornista, as far as I understand from the Spanish language, just means hornist.
That's it. Okay.
Yep.
So that's what it was. So the instruments that you play, Fergus, what is the range?
The range of the horn, the corno, here in Latin American Spanish, is a full four octaves. It's one of the largest ranges of any musical voice, paralleled perhaps only by the cello.
Okay.
Which has very similar range, and also the expression that it's capable of. I understand that it was the Ministry of Culture, together with the Bella Arte Corporation, that has invited me here.
Excellent.
And that's the Bella Arte Academy Art Store and the Bella Arte Events.
And I think you're going to be giving classes at Fundiscopa, Lared, Bella Arte, and IPA.
Hmm?
Like a good...
I'm busy here. IPA.
Yes, okay, good beer. For us Brits, that's a good beer, you know. what is the sort of the grade of the people you're going to be teaching at the moment?
Oh, it's I have one young player who has been only 3 months on the instrument.
Really?
Passionate beginner, young lady. And there are a couple of players who are, I would say, of international standard.
Really?
I'm very interested. We must talk about them, about their possible future, because it's a tremendous range. And the enthusiasm is amazing.
I mean, the thing to say, in fact, Yasmin, her son right now, we keep encouraging, he's doing the saxophone, playing the saxophone.
One of the things I wanted to do on my bucket list.
Really?
Is to play some saxophone. I have not done it yet. I have learned to scuba dive, but I have not yet got to, have not got to the saxophone.
We could use that for snorkeling. I mean, personally, I think the saxophone is one of the sound, and not just the sound, but I mean, it doesn't it? The saxophone looks as if it came out of Charlie Wonka's food chocolate factory, doesn't it? It's an amazing instrument.
Some people might say some rude things about the horn, too.
So what's next for you, Fergus? I mean, is the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra, that's where you're going to be now?
No, I am now retired.
Oh, you're retired
now? A few years ago,
yeah,
you
really?
Retired. We have mandatory...
Such a young man.
Thank you. You lie through your teeth. Germany has a mandatory legal retirement age.
Really?
And, it's getting a little higher, but yes, you have to step back and leave the place for a younger player.
That must be heartbreaking.
It was a difficult adieu.
Yeah.
34 years. However, I was prepared. Mm-hmm. I had watched my elder colleagues eventually stepping back and stepping away from the orchestra. I took advice from them about how to prepare
mm-hmm.
for it,
mm-hmm.
and I followed that advice, and it's been very good, and I've transitioned very happily.
So is it mainly teaching now for you?
Precisely. It gives me
mm-hmm.
more time.
Mm-hmm.
This was just before the pandemic came, and so for a full year, I was able to enjoy a frantically busy life, touring the world with my horn player wife
mm-hmm.
as a duo, as a the dynamic duo.
Wonderful. Yeah, yeah.
Double pack. We played in... From China, back home in Scotland,
mm-hmm.
With the Royal Scottish National, with the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra. We were playing with the London Symphony
mm-hmm.
Orchestra.
Wow.
Playing double horn concertos in Greece and all over the place. until the pandemic hit.
Sure.
And then now, as we've been coming out of the lockdowns and so forth, she's begun to play again in her own
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
her own projects in Europe. And I've been doing more and more teaching.
During the pandemic, did you find yourself sort of teaching online at all?
Or? I did a little.
Yeah.
Also did a couple of recordings online.
Really? Yeah.
But it was extremely frustrating.
Okay.
I'm not saying anything here that people don't know already from their own experience.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bizarre, twisted reality, very difficult for everyone to get through. And the music art form, the public music, the music business... took a body blow, which from it really hasn't recovered yet.
No, I think a lot of us are suffering from it. You know, a little bit like yourself. I mean, my studio is here, so mm-hmm. we were able to just go through the pandemic as nothing had happened, except for money.
Yeah, that little problem.
little thing, but it's providing a service. Fergus, we've unfortunately run out of time, but. Can we just go through where you're going to be teaching and when? Is anybody interested?
This week, of course, for the rest of this week here
mm-hmm.
in Panama.
Mm-hmm.
And upcoming, I've got things in Italy and in Poland
wow.
and in the United States, in Boston. And,
so basically, there's no such thing as retirement, which I know about.
No. Yes. I was warned by my older colleagues.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to stop me and say, how did I ever manage to work?
Put your seatbelt on, it's going to get interesting.
That's right. Professor Fergus McWilliam, thank you so much for coming in. Sorry it's been a little bit pushed and short, but that's life here at the moment. But it's been a great honour, great privilege to meet you. And what a wonderful CV. Just going to change the name on it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you so much. There's our guest. Big thanks to our special guest this morning. And that is, as I say, Fergus McWilliam here with us today. Also, let's say a big thank you to Alex Newman for our tech talk today. And also to Ingrid for joining us from Florida up there. Wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving. As for us here, big thanks to Yasmin doing all our social media work, etc. Neil Danby, our co-producer over there in the UK. He will be here, by the way, for New Year, and he's going to be here for at least a couple of months. So big thanks to him. Big thanks to the boys and girls, the group of Grada, keep us up and running in the mornings. And as always, to you, our listeners, advertisers and sponsors, thank you so very much for being with us. Here on 89.3 Cool FM. Tomorrow, what do we say? TGIF? Yes, we'll be back with you tomorrow at the same time. Whatever it is you're going to be doing between now and then, you know what we say? Do it carefully. 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. I want to be talking to you, not talking about you. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Karas, co-producer Neil Danby.